Quo Vadis, A Tale of the Time of Nero, by Henryk Sienkiewicz. Translated by S. A. Binion and S. Malevsky. Part 1, Chapter 1. It was not until about noon that Petronius finally woke. He felt greatly fatigued, as usual. The evening before he had been with Nero at a feast which had continued late into the night. For some time past his health had not been good. He said of himself that he felt like a log of wood in the mornings, and barely had sufficient strength to collect his thoughts. However, a bath and the careful massage administered by skilled slaves gradually quickened the flow of his sluggish blood, refreshed him, and restored his courage. From the last stage of the bath he issued a new man, his eyes sparkling with wit and animation, rejuvenated, vivacious, so superior that Otho could not equal him, in fact, honestly meriting his sobriquet, Arbiter of Elegance. Petronius seldom went to the public baths, and then only to hear some speaker whose reputation had aroused the gossip of the city, or when there were games of particular interest going on in the great hall. In ordinary circumstances he preferred his private baths on his own estate, which Celer, the renowned companion of Severus, had enlarged and rebuilt for him. With so much taste were they equipped, that in spite of the fact that the imperial baths were larger and immeasurably more luxuriously planned, Nero himself owned Petronius's superior. As Petronius, bored by Vatinius's joking, had taken part after last night's feast in a discussion with Nero, Lucan, and Seneca as to whether women possessed souls, he woke, as has been said, late, and according to his habit made use of the baths. Two colossal slaves having laid him upon a cypress wood table, which was covered with immaculate Egyptian linen, dipped their hands in perfumed oil and began to rub him. Meanwhile, closing his eyes, he waited till the warmth of the steam and the friction of the rubber's hands should penetrate his body and drive away fatigue. After a short time he opened his eyes and asked of the weather. Later he inquired concerning the precious stones which Idomeneus, the jeweler, had promised to bring him to examine. As the breeze was from the Alban Mountains, the weather promised fair. As for the precious stones, they had not yet been sent. At the same instant, the slave whose duty it was to announce the names of the visitors to the baths appeared from behind the curtain to say that young Marcus Vinicius, who had just returned from Asia Minor, wished to see Petronius. Petronius ordered the slaves to carry him to the warm room into which he directed that his guest should be admitted. Vinicius was the son of his eldest sister, who had years before become the wife of Marcus Vinicius, a consul in the reign of Tiberius. Under Corbulo's command, the young Vinicius had been fighting the Parthians, and had now, after the close of the war, returned to Rome. Petronius was extremely fond of him, because, for one reason, he was handsome and athletic, and also because he had sufficient delicacy of feeling not to exceed a certain moderation in his debaucheries, a faculty which Petronius valued above all others. "My greetings to Petronius," said the young man, as with an elastic step he entered the warm room. "May all the gods, and especially Aesculapius and Cypris, be indulgent to thee, for under their joint protection nothing can go amiss. Welcome to Rome, and may thy rest be sweet after the war," answered Petronius, extending his hand from the folds of the soft linen which covered him. "What news from Armenia? And while thou wert in Asia, did you happen to go to Bithynia?" For a period Petronius had himself been the governor of Bithynia, and had administered the province with firmness and justice. Inasmuch as this activity presented a curious contrast in the character of one noted for indolence and luxurious tastes, Petronius was fond of referring to his services to the state, since they showed not only what he was able to do, but what he might have been, had he so wished. "I did go to Heraclea," answered Vinicius. "I was sent there by Corbulo for reinforcements." "Ah, Heraclea! There it was I knew a girl from Colchis, for whom I would give all the divorced women I know, Poppaea included. But how long ago that was! Let us talk of other things. What news of the Parthians? Between ourselves they bore me, the Vologeses, the Tiridates, and Tigranes, all those barbarians who are in the habit of going on all fours at home, as Aurelinus says, and who affect to be human beings only with us. Rome talks much of them, however, for the reason, probably, that she is afraid to talk of anything else."